All right, let's do a quick review. Let me share my screen, make sure that's working, and we will take a look at Judges chapter 16. All right, just quick review. Samson went to Gaza. Make a note of that. He goes to Gaza, which is a stronghold of the Philistines, which is the enemy. He goes to Gaza, hooks up with a lady of the night, or of the day, because it's daytime when he gets there, or whatever. I don't know. So he hooks up with her. We looked at that, and the enemy knows that he's there, and they want to trap him in Gaza, but he escapes because he doesn't stay there long enough for them to capture him. All right. Keep that in mind. I'm going to bring my screen up just a little bit. Ooh, that's a little bit too much there. You can read that there? Oh, well, we'll put it back to you. No, we got you. We're going to do what we're going to do here. All right, there we go. Oh man, that is nice. Okay. So, all right. You know, for those of you that are on Zoom, I just made the text a little bit bigger on my screen. Now everybody in the class is very happy. You guys should have said something a lot earlier.
Wait, I know we wanted to sit there
in darkness or whatever.
I'm sitting there. See,
you read it. No, okay, well, because this looks big on my screen. Anyway, okay, that's good. All right. So, don't stay there long. And he walks out of that with victory, and he rises up, and he gets out of there. All right, great. I like what one of my favorite commentary, Dan Guzik, says. God used Samson despite Samson's sin, not because of it. And one of the takeaways from that is, you know, sometimes things work out very well. Don't get it twisted. That does not mean that the way you did it was the right way to do it. I know we talked about that last week, but that's just big. And I can't help but mention that there's just been so many churches that I've been associated with, not necessarily Vaughn Forest or whatever, but just some other places or whatever, where God blesses the church, but then the leader is kind of crooked or whatever, and then you sit back and you go, man, he's so crooked, but why did God bless him? Well, because people are praying for him. And it's not because the leader was good, and it's not because they did it the right way. It's because God had mercy and he blessed, and people get that confused and saying, well, that must be the right way to do it because God blessed it. No, God hears the prayers of the saints. And just because you got the blessing doesn't mean that you did it right. All right? And you know what happens. You keep doing it wrong and you keep crossing your fingers thinking this is going to be, you know, this is the right way to do it. And all of a sudden it all blows up and you sit there and you scratch your head going, why? What happened to my church? What happened to my ministry? What happened to what I was trying? Because you didn't do it right. And God can't get your attention because you think, oh. So one of the lessons you've got to be very careful with here is that whole idea of self-righteousness. That's probably the most dangerous places to be as a Christian, to think that you're in right standing with God and you're not. And you don't know it. that's a bad place to be. You don't know that you're lost. Yeah. All right. Verse 4, we talked about this last week. Al's going to remind me where we left off at in a minute here. But just some key points here. He falls in love with a woman named Delilah. Delilah, or whatever. In the Hebrew, means feeble, means to make weak or impoverished. I love biblical names and what the names mean in the Bible or whatever. I wish we would do more of that today. Because that way, if I was dating somebody, I would ask them, you know, what's your name? Okay, let me look that up. Your name means what? Your name means to weaken and impoverish? I don't think so, homegirl. I can't date you if your name means to weaken and impoverish. All right. So that wouldn't happen today.
All the names they name them now.
Don't even go there, Al. I know what you're talking about. It's in the Valley of Sorek or whatever, and Sorek means choice vines. Again, he's a Nazarite, so he's supposed to be messing with the grapes, and, you know, he's still going to play. And the other thing is, I did a little bit of research And this was a border town. So it wasn't Gaza. It was a town on the border between the Philistines and the Israelites. And the only reason I say that is sometimes as Christians, we push the envelope just a little bit, move to the border. Come on now. You know,
just get to the edge.
All right. So he's dating a girl on the edge. I like that. I like what you said. He's dating a girl on the edge because there ain't nothing really super wrong with it. But it ain't, you know, as holy as it is. Just kind of pushing it. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just going to talk about myself. You know, just, you know, it ain't quite right, but it ain't quite wrong. And you just kind of, you know, I'm just going to check it out a little bit. I ain't going to go all the way in or whatever. You know, there you go. I don't know what I'm talking about. He looked like somebody used to go to the club or whatever. He ain't going to go all the way into the club, but he's going to hang around on the outside or whatever. Whatever. All right. So you just got to be kind of careful because he's kind of pushing the envelope there. So, you know, you just got to be careful. All right. All right, so in verse 5, the lords of the Philistines came up to her and they entice her. He's dating this girl. He likes her. The enemy comes and they try to get to him through who he's hanging out with. All right, let's go with verse 6. Oh, and they're going to bribe her with money, the world. And I got a little note there. Jesus, because as you look at Samson, his role, not saying the person himself, his role is the same role that Christ serves for us. He's our deliverer who sets us free from the bondage of the enemy. And the people were in bondage and servitude to the Philistines. Samson, as a judge, has a role. His job title is to judge and to deliver the people. So sometimes when we see these, I say they're a type of Christ. Samson's so screwed up, I don't want to say he's a type of Christ. I'm just going to say he's in the same role. And as you look at this, I want you to look at it from this perspective of, see how Samson in this role serves as a deliverer, but also see what Samson's going through, because what Samson's dealing with on the spiritual side, it's something that we need to be very cautious of, because there's nothing new under the sun. And oh my goodness, we have.
It's not like still living in the world, even though
exactly. Which is why I like the Bible, because the Bible will give you the example of these characters in the Bible. They give you the example in these stories. They give you the example of what not to do. Children of Israel coming out of Egypt, complaining in the wilderness, on their way to God's best. All right, that ain't how you handle wilderness situations. That's not how you handle transition. And then Christ comes through in his temptation 40 days, probably perhaps in that same wilderness situation, and he shows you how to do it. So it'll give you the bad example. And the good thing about that is, if I do what the bad folk did, then I'm going to get what the bad folk got. And if I want to get the good stuff, then I'll do the example of the good stuff. There you go. All right. That sounds like a James Brown thing. Yeah, the good stuff. All right.
So, Chuck, I looked up meaning your name. You know what Chuck means?
Manly.
One of them.
Okay. There's more. Okay. Well,
another,
go ahead. Be careful, because we can look. I got internet access, and we can Google Al up too. All right.
That means free man.
Oh, amen. There you go. Yes. Oh man, great. Yeah. Which is one of my books.
Is
Michael Freeman.
Freeman.
Right. Absolutely. I didn't know that one. That's just the Lord. Because I. Yeah. I always went with the manly friend. I knew the manly.
Manly man.
Manly man, yeah. Manly free man. Which still gets me in trouble because, you know, that caveman mentality doesn't always help sometimes. All right. So, anyway.
Don't cut your hair off.
Well, you know, it's gonna get cut sooner or later, but I praise God it can grow back. Anyway, verse 6.
That's where we start on 7.
Okay, praise the Lord. So we're almost where we need to be. As Davy says, about time. Okay. And verse 6. Delilah says to Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." Now, if you ain't figured this out, you're dating a girl, all right, who says, can you tell me what the secret of your strength is so that I might afflict you? I mean, if that, I know, isn't it crazy? It's just crazy. And Samson must have had just enough of the Holy Spirit to figure out what was going on, because look at what he does. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with seven green withes, or whatever, I don't know if that's pronounced right, that will never dry, the cords, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her seven green, okay, cords, because I don't know what that word, how to pronounce that word, which had not been dried. And she bound him with them. Now, notice what's going on here. Who is supplying her what she needs to trap Samson?
The enemy.
The enemy is. Okay. Dare I ask for application for today? This is not in my notes. Thank you, Holy Ghost. There's nothing new under the sun. Somebody that Samson loves, all into, nose wide open, the enemy is supplying the object of his affection what they need to try to bring him down. Is there any application for today? Not only do you need to watch out, I'll say it out loud because she kind of shy. Not only do you need to be careful of your enemies, you need to be careful of the people that you love that are around you who the enemy will work through to bring you down. Because those are the ones where you don't see it coming. No, you don't expect. No, David said it was not my enemy that reproached me, because them I could have avoided. But it was you, my brother.
Yeah.
Yep. That's why I always look at Al from the corner of my eye. I love the brother, but I gotta keep my eye on him.
Al's been found out.
And as sad as it is, I mean, and so let me ask this question. How can we protect ourselves, all right? Because it's not like we necessarily want to cut off our relationship with certain folk, though in this case, he probably should have cut this relationship off. But I mean, can the enemy supply our kids with what they need to bring us down?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Can the enemy supply, you know, our relationships, our folks on the job, our church? You know? So we just got to be careful. What New Testament scripture points to this? We wrestle not against
flesh and blood,
but principles and principalities.
Not against flesh and blood, but against
spirits
and
principalities and high places. So I'm not so much, you got to kind of separate the person from the thing that's motivating them, because I'm just saying there's nothing new under the sun. If the enemy is supplying loved ones or the object of his affection, all right, to trap him, then we need to be careful, because the enemy works the same way. Why? Because it works.
Her dad told me something one time, I don't know if it'd be related to what the, he always told me that an apple don't fall far from the tree.
Amen. Yeah.
So you have to be careful.
Yeah. Got to be careful.
Yeah.
Now, before I go into my notes and those types of things, how could he have protected himself? Because the way that he could have protected himself is possibly what we need to do today.
Should have cut her off.
Could have cut her off. Somebody else would have just popped up, but you know, because you know, he had
that's true. He had that problem.
He had that problem. Yeah, he had that problem. It was with new name, different place or whatever. Instead of weakening a promise, you know, break it down to your knees, whatever that means in the Hebrew. I don't know. Somebody, what could have protected this?
How did Jesus treat Judas? I mean, Judas, one of his close disciples, he betrayed
him. He loved him.
Yeah.
He gave him.
He didn't kick him out.
He didn't kick him out. He loved him. But he never let Judas
know that he knew.
Well, he did know. He told us, "You the one."
That was when it was time, at the time of the betrayal.
Yeah, at the time of the betrayal. Yeah.
Okay.
But Did Judas ever cause Christ to leave his mission?
No.
So he was always focused on what? And the will of the
Father.
He was always connected and to the Father. The Father was always the focus, which probably allowed him to be able to show Judas. Now, come on, folk.
Yeah.
You know, good and doggone well, if you was Christ and you were not connected to the Father and you knew you had a snake like Judas in your camp, what would you do?
Took care of him.
Huh? No, I would have had Peter take care of him, you know.
I would have
had Peter. I might have held him down and then I let Peter go and do your thing, man. You know, get that sword, do your thing. You know. But because he's so connected with the Father, he knows how to love Judas and give him an opportunity to repent. Oh my goodness, great! You know, so again, Jesus being that perfect example. Thank you, Norm, for bringing up Judas as an example. How can we protect ourselves? Boom. Connect. Love God. My wife don't always like to hear me say this, but love God more than you love anybody else.
Oh, that's the children. Yeah, that's so true.
God is first. He's first.
And then he'll add everything else that needs to come. All right, so don't let what's happening in your relationships and the earth or whatever, you know, the happenings around it, don't let that distract you, because the enemy, it doesn't always have to be a relationship. It's that. Whatever thing it is that's got your attention, don't let that take your attention and hope from God, because if it does, the enemy will use that to trap your butt.
Every time.
Because it still works. All right. Every time I read these Old Testament scriptures or whatever, it just, you know, sometimes, you know, Christ says, watch and pray. Be careful. Watch, 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 watch. And I used to read that as a young man and go, watch, watch. What am I watching out for? What am I looking out for? You didn't tell me who to watch for. I'm watching for, you know. Watching for you to bust through the clouds? Am I supposed to be walking around? What? That can't be it, because in Acts, they were doing that. He's like, what y'all just standing up here looking in the air for? You know, it's time for you to... So what are we watching for? And as I look at people like Samson, I'm like, oh, I know better now what I'm supposed to be watching and looking out for. It's not always in the natural. It is in the spiritual realm that I need to be careful. What am I looking out for? Because I don't want anything to move me from where God wants me to be to get his best. All right. Let's look at some notes. Tell me the secret of your success so I can hold you down and make you suffer. Same line is being repeated today. We just don't hear it all the time. But the enemy is still, what is the secret? What is it that he can do to hold us down? And what does that look like today? I think we've already talked about that. I like what Matthew Henry commentary says. I put that in there just for a bit. He must have known he was in danger. Why do you think Samson knew that she wasn't on the up and up?
He lied to her.
If he really trusted her, he knew she was crooked. But, you know, he on the border there. He on the border. You know, it's like, yeah, I don't trust you, so I'm just going to tell you a lie.
What?
What?
She was pretty.
Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. She just said something. And this is one of the things.
If you lie, he could have just told her the truth. And it's like when you lie, it just creates a whole nother lie.
It kicks
the thing. It's bigger and bigger.
And then the devil, he's just still in the mix on him to sit back.
Because he's the father of lies. It just, you know, I guess I had to be careful with this when I was younger. I want to hang out with a certain group of folk, and hanging out with a certain group of folk, and then they start asking me, hey, you want to come over here and do this and go over there and do this and that? And what? Nah, man, I don't kind of feel like it today or whatever. Stop playing. Tell them you're a Christian. Tell them you don't do that. You know, just be straight with them. Because sooner or later, they're going to keep asking you.
I don't give up.
That's true.
God forbid. I'm sorry I'm recording this, but that, you know, that's how I, as a young man, that's how I smoked my first reefer. Mm-hmm. Not that I really smoked it, because I didn't know how to smoke. I did that Bill Clinton stuff, you know, a little smoke in the air or whatever.
I didn't smoke, my roommate did.
You don't know. It's called secondhand smoke.
Yeah. I was in the same room.
I was
his roommate.
Yeah. Let's call it contact high. get him, no. And so even there, you kind of push the envelope. My roommate was the biggest drug dealer on campus.
Yeah.
He finally went to jail for it. He sold to the wrong person or whatever. And I'm sitting there like a big old dummy, you know. Didn't think about it. Nobody really schooled me on that or whatever. I just figured, hey, I ain't doing it. You know, I'm not associated with it. But you keep playing around with it, then all of a sudden, you know, just tell them.
Yeah.
I finally changed that room. I'm not, you and I, we're going off the park. Every time I come in here, it's wintertime. The window's all open. It smells like stuff up in here, and it's freezing up in here. I can't study up in here with you crazy rascals, you know. No.
But that's like you said, that's when you're still trying to hold on, ride that line.
Because
you don't want to lose those friends. Like, he didn't want to lose her because he still loved her.
Woo.
And he was still willing to lie to keep her, and that just. And then it just kept, and he had to keep online just to keep what he wanted, but was not necessarily good for him.
Bingo, that's your lesson for today.
Yep.
That's one of the major truths that come out of this. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever read this story before. I know you heard about it, but who pulled that out of this story? That's it right there. I don't want to offend you. I want to kind of fit in, and I still want to be able to have the benefit, you know. So I'm going to play this game. Good gracious. You can't play with the enemy who's been playing this game for thousands and thousands of years. You think you're winning and you think you've mastered the game, but you can't play a player. This dude's been playing this game for a while. I keep telling my kids, saying, you think you're getting old, you're playing a player. Come on now. All right. They don't think we know anything. You know what? I still need them to help me program my telephone, but you know what? They don't know anything about life. Got my grandson. All of a sudden, he likes girls now. Wondering why these other little funny-looking characters in his class, guys, have girlfriends and he ain't got one. But he just thinks he's just so smart. I'm like, one, I done have more girlfriends than you'll ever have. Hopefully. Two, look at yourself. You ain't an athlete. You're doing bad in school. You can't even say that you a good egghead or whatever. You got B.O. You fake putting water on your body, and you don't, and he might hear this recording, but I don't care. But, you know, because I know he'll come out of this eventually. You don't put no smell good on. You ain't got no kind of rap or whatever, you know. So who want? You ain't got nothing to offer. Yeah. And, Al, he got one of them little tight froze or whatever, you know, and run a pick through it or whatever. I'm like, come on now. Who wants to go out with that? And you sit there wondering, you know, what, pity party? Come on. No, they don't know anything. They don't know anything about life. And, okay. They will. But see, here's the essence of this lesson. We as parents don't want them to come to the light one day.
You want to come soon.
So that they don't go through what Samson went through.
Yes.
All right, there you go. That's it. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're like, oh, it ain't going to happen. I don't know how many. That just because it happened to you didn't mean it happened to me. Okay, here we go.
That was Ashley's favorite
dog. It ain't going to happen to me. Yep. Well, as I look at this story, what happened to Samson happens to a lot of young people.
That's right.
It happens. Good gracious. And it's just history repeating itself.
And oh man, how hard you try to keep that history from happening.
That's like generation.
That's where, like you said, but that's where you have to know your history to be able to know, okay, well, how do I handle this situation?
And not being afraid to tell your children.
Yep.
'Cause I think that's the biggest issue that we have. Fear of sharing that. with our children.
Because you fear you're going to lose the relationship?
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing he's going through here.
It's not the, and that's not Sarah making yourself maybe look and you don't want to destroy your what you look like to your children.
Okay.
Or your grandchildren.
Right.
So you hold back information. We just go on and say, look, this is where, because I, you know, with my granddaughter, I said, these are the potholes. I said, we tell you.
So you're sharing your testimony.
So you won't fall into those same potholes. I said, this is what happened to me. This is your daddy telling you this.
Yep.
It's not that we're trying to hurt you. We tell you these things because we love you. And you don't have, and you can avoid, well, I want to learn from myself. I said, you don't
okay.
have to.
You
do not have to hit these things.
You don't have that experience.
You don't, and, but.
Wouldn't you like to get intel? Before I go to a place, I don't want to. Yeah. I'm risk averse. I want to get Google Map and figure out. Okay, I got to make a right or a left over here before I get to that place. Mm-hmm. Why would you not want to have intel? You want to be surprised? It ain't no surprise. And see, here's the thing: the Bible. I heard it said the Bible tells you how to live.
Yeah.
So when you go through these lessons, it's not like, oh, here's a nice little story, bedtime story. This ain't no bedtime story. When you put yourself in the character's roles, it becomes your story. So sooner or later, somebody's going to lose something that they will never be able to get back because they're not heeding the story. What you got, Mr. Palmer?
Well, you know, what I see now, Chuck, a lot of parents want kids to be their friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that really just don't work. You know, you're the parent for a reason.
Yes.
So you gotta act like you're the parent, and
they're
gonna be the cheer.
I'll be the parent till I die. Yeah. I mean, we can be buddy, but I'm gonna, you know, when you cross the line, you're still you're gonna be parent till I die. I told my grandkids, I'm like, hey, look here.
And a 25-year-old grandson. I just told him point blank, y'all are not friends.
Yeah.
You his mom. You need to act that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
Got a role to play.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm not coming down off the and see. Here's the thing. Yes, here's the thing. It's okay to be friendly and be friends with the kids. That's okay. But the enemy perverts things and takes it too far. Mm-hmm. And while being a friend is good, the ordination is parent. The spiritual and the godly order is parent. I'm never stepping down from that role. Because then I will be outside of what God has ordained me to be. He didn't ordain me to be your buddy. He ordained me to be dad. Whether you like it or not. Alright. I got this highlighted. God, and I love the scripture, God will supply your needs according to his riches and glory. The enemy will supply your needs for the purpose of bringing you poverty and shame. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of wrote down there, who will you choose to be your supplier? Mm-hmm. The one who's going to eventually cause you to fall, or the one who has plans for you to prosper and be the head and not the tail? All right. All right, verse 9 was some of the points there. This is for all the ladies that got men or whatever. She asks him these questions, and she keeps playing. As you see, she keeps playing the same card over and over again. Al, you can't participate because your bride is with you, so we're going to talk to the other guys here. Have you ever been in that situation where somebody that you love just keeps playing that same card over and over again to see how you going to? Mm-hmm. Just going to pray for them. They don't know that the enemy is behind that emotion. Mm-hmm. Let me just get off that and move to the next one before I'm already lost. I lost two people on Zoom now and two of y'all looking at me kind of funny or whatever. So let me just move on. Hey, if you want to dig, those of you who want to dig a little deeper, just check out the notes. I'll put them on the website after a while or whatever. You know, amen.
Al and I may have to go usher.
Man, all right. Al, if you got time in your Bible, you can turn to Proverbs 7 and Proverbs 6 or whatever. We'll hit that just
so you
can. Well, it's sitting on the screen there. You know, you hit them both. You're in the vicinity.
7, 2, 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As
7:26 and 6:26.
Yeah, 7:26 and 6:26. Absolutely. Notice that the enemy is hiding in her chamber. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the physical story. You got to understand that when you look at that from the spiritual perspective, whatever the enemy is enticing you to do when your eyes are off the Lord or whatever, you got to be careful. The enemy is hiding, waiting in that situation to see if they can pounce on you based upon the decision that you're getting ready to make.
Yes.
The enemy waits.
Yes.
Come on. That's good. The enemy waits.
Yeah.
And the best way to protect yourself is just keep your focus on God. How does God get glory out of what I'm getting ready to do? All right. I got highlighted here. Herein lies the danger and deception. This is like the worst place that you can be as a believer. When I was unsaved, I knew when I was doing something wrong. I just knew. And I chose to do wrong. And if somebody stopped me, you don't need to be going over her house. You don't need to be over here. You know, I'm like, I know, but I'm just going to do it anyway because that's just what, you know. I knew. This is when you have problems. And this is being a single guy, Christian, this is where I really struggled. You're in a situation, you don't want to sin, but you're with somebody, and the date goes real well. And I'm like, yes. And so you just keep going into that same situation because you've had success. And then all of a sudden you just think, I'm not talking about anybody, I'm just talking about me. And then you go into that same situation over and over again because you've had success. And I've even had people say, oh, God, you're such a strong Christian. I'm like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know.
And then all of a sudden you get burned. Mm-hmm. And you scratch your head going, how'd that happen? Come on now. Your success can lead to your downfall. Because instead of relying on the power of the Holy Spirit to deliver you, you're relying on your own strength and your past success. I know this ain't applicable for a lot of us, but I know what? If I was a young man, I wish somebody had sat me down and told me this story. I might have still said, well, that happened to you, it won't happen to me. But if it happened to Samson and nothing to under the sun, I might have listened.
Right, right.
I might have listened. Or else I might have been checking under the bed to find out where the enemy might be. I don't know. Look at that. And I'll say it later in my notes. This isn't just about men-women relationships and things like that. Whatever situation has got your nose open or whatever that the enemy can use, check the room for whatever it is because it's a spiritual thing. He's just giving you a natural example, but you can expand that way beyond relationships and things like that. All right? Okay. Al, what do you got in Proverbs 7:26? I know we don't have any young people here that this applies to, but we know some young folk.
But she has been the ruin of many.
Who has been the ruin of many?
She, Delilah.
Delilah. Well, people like Delilah.
Well, people like her.
People that make you weak in the knees.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Many men have been her victim.
Many?
Many.
Ooh. Ooh. That's kind of scary.
And I like this 7:26.
7:26. Proverbs 7. What does it say?
For a prostitute will bring you to poverty.
To poverty?
But sleeping with another man's wife will cost you your life.
Okay. That's Al's funny Bible. When you get home, read it in the King James. But there's some truth there. Okay. Amen. Yeah. Okay. So, all right. So not only is there a spiritual death involved in that. Yeah. But there could be a physical repercussion in that as well.
The Bible says, for a prostitute can be had for a loaf of bread, but another man's wife preys on your very life.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like mine better.
I got some notes here. Make sure you protect your anointing
right.
from the enemy at all costs.
That's right.
What is the source of Samson's power?
God.
It's near.
It's relationship with God.
Well, it's the outward source is his hair.
Yeah.
That's true. The outward source is his hair. Got it. But that's just like us going to church. That's what we do on the outward. Yeah. But the source of that is the Holy Spirit.
Right.
It's when the Spirit comes on him that he does great things.
Hey, boy.
So, how does that apply to us today?
Yeah.
So, what is the source of our power if the Holy Spirit is the source of... let me meet Matt here real quick, if I can. What is the source of our power if that's the source of his power? Same thing. So what do we need to do? And we need to protect...
Protect
your anointing. And how do you do that?
Staying connected, pray.
How do you stay connected? If y'all don't tell me, if y'all don't say the steps, thank you, boy, thank you, Norman, you just saved them. The steps.
Down.
The steps. But, well, make sure you got the first three down.
Yeah.
One, stay humble.
Yeah.
Two, repent. Don't rely on your strength or whatever. Three, make sure your hope and focus is on God. Four, that will keep you lined up with the Holy Ghost. When you think you got it and you don't, then you need to go back and do the humility thing. All over again. Start over. Pick up the cross. Go to the tomb. Drop some stuff off at the tomb. Get your resurrected hope. And then go back again. All right? Because the enemy, come on now. Somebody know that you've had that Holy Spirit moment. You're doing good. You're praising God. God is good. You did something nice or whatever. Then somebody cut you off in traffic. You get some kind of funny text from somebody or whatever. Somebody eyeballed you the wrong way or whatever. You know, got to go back. Better go back. Pick it up again. All right. It don't take much.
I go back a lot, man.
I go, man, sometimes three, four, five times a day. All right, anyway, you know. Man. All right, verse. Yeah. All right, verse 10. And Delilah said unto Samson, "Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. True that. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound." How crazy is this? This is almost comical. And he said to her, "Well, if they bind me fast with new ropes that were never occupied, then I shall be weak and be as another man." Delilah therefore took new ropes, and bound him therewith, and said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee." I don't know. I'm not talking to you, Al. I'm just going to talk to Tommy. I don't know what it is for y'all wives, but what is it that make you jump up? Anyway, don't go there. Okay. All right. "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." This goes both ways. There are things that we do and say to people to get people to respond the way that we want them to respond, to test them. All right. And you got to understand that when you do that, you better make sure that the motivation is coming from the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And not your carnality. Or else you are being an agent of the enemy. Oh, boom, that's a mic dropper right there. I just thought.
We're going to bring that $1 next week.
Sometimes you get so caught up, you get so frustrated with the person. You think she's happy with Samson right now? She's frustrated because she can't get what she wants. She can't get her way.
She accuses him of lying to her, and she's lying to him.
Oh, well, I can't get over
this.
How stupid can he be?
Well, he ain't falling. He's having success. He's playing.
He ought to be playing.
Because
she kept coming back.
Because you are better. See, she's trying to get you. But he know that. That's why
he's fooling. But he's... He's fooling with her, but he don't realize not only is he fooling with her, but he's fooling with an enemy that's behind the scenes, that's hiding, that he can't see. So every time he goes, ooh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Every time he goes into that situation, and he thinks, I'm Samson, I'm bad, I'm spiritual, I got this, I got the Holy Ghost, I got nice hair, I got all this. Every time he goes into that situation, he just appears, he just thinks, man, I'm going to walk out of this just like I walked into it or whatever. And he doesn't know that the enemy is hiding in the shadows for him.
But that ought to
and we do the same thing.
He really did not care. He didn't really care about him.
So, what about us today? Do we really think that the world cares about us?
No. That's day to day.
What is the verse that Peter submitted to the Lord, resist the devil, and flee from him? Samson wasn't submitting to the Lord. He was just trying to resist.
He's still getting success. So he keeps doing it. And he wanted her. He's playing this game. I know you ain't right for me, but I like you.
After 3 times, it failed.
I mean, do we? I got kids like that. I know you're bad for me, but I like you. I got a weight problem. I got this problem. I got that problem. Whatever. But I can't get off them donuts.
Hey, Chuck.
Yes, sir.
Samson wasn't sinning against Delilah. He was sinning against God.
Let me tell you something. As a young man, it took me several years trying to live single and saved for me to finally figure that out, because that really delivered me. Because a lot of times I'd get in these situations and I'd be like, whew, dodge that bullet. I'm a good man of God, because I know what I would have done in my old days. You know, I'm a good man of God here. And I was always fighting the temptation from the perspective of me. Finally, something hit me, Ken, that said, you know what? Not only do I need to be concerned about myself, but I'm a stumbling block for my sister. And when I finally realized that this is not just about me, that I'm bringing somebody else into the enemy camp, that scared me, because I realized I have a responsibility as a Christian for somebody else, and I'm leading them down the wrong road. That scared the devil out of me. That made it a whole lot easier for me to stay in alignment with God. Because this is just not about me. Now, I can't tell you how many years I thought about it. This is me. This is me and my walk. No. I got to be responsible for somebody else. It was a wonderful day when I had a conversation. I can't do this. Not just because of me, but I can't lead you down the wrong road. How are you going to be able to go and praise God?
I think a lot of us, when we thought we were saved, or we thought we were Christians, and we didn't realize that what we do is not just about us, but it affects everything, everyone around us, and other people who are seeing us. And then when you finally come to that place where God actually brings you to that place, where you actually understand what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and you commit to that, then you come into that understanding that this is not about you, but it's about everyone around you. It's about the kingdom. And to show how God would have you live on this earth and do. And to show other people what God would have you be.
Thank you, Ken, because that's it. He is not just sinning against himself. He's sinning against God.
Yes.
That's it. And I didn't really see that until, you know, I was dating this one girl or whatever, and I hate sharing all this stuff, but, you know, and she goes, you know, my dad didn't like you. I said, why? Because you kept me out all night one time. I'm like, oh my God. And it clicked. Because her father, because I was a good kid. And people told me I was a good kid. And I knew I was a good kid. But I kept this guy's daughter out all night. And never really understood why, instead of walking her to the door, I just turned around and left. And I'm like, and her dad that passed before I could go back to him and say, I'm sorry. Because she belonged to you. And I didn't honor you because of my selfishness. How awesome it would be for our young men and women who are dating sisters in Christ to understand you can't just date her or date him because of, you know, your passion and your, you know, prestige. You know, you have to protect your sister in Christ, because now dating becomes a kingdom thing. All right. Again, this ain't for us, because we all, you know. But man, I wish somebody told me this when I was a young man. I didn't know all this stuff was moving around the atmosphere. It's a spiritual thing. And when you only look at it from the metaphysical or whatever, you'll miss what God is doing in the spiritual realm. And maybe this is how we can teach young people. Here's how you date and here's how you interact with others as a Christian. See, amen. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because when you're talking, I'm like, wow, that does make it look just, especially when you know you're dating someone that ain't right, but you're just dating and you're like, you're just wasting, and then even though you think you're wasting that time, which you probably are, but then it's just feeding, the devil's just feeding into, okay, I got her hooked. Now let me see if I can ruffle her a little bit to where she starts coming a little away from God, because you're trying to get something that's not good for you. I don't know, it opens up a little, it just makes dating different.
It makes it easier when I know the spiritual ramifications. It makes it safer. And I like what you're saying, because I'm not going to, well, I already said I ain't going to do this no more. I'm going to get me a dog rather than get me, but anyway. Don't be looking at me all crazy. That's not exactly what I meant, but anyway. Let me do this.
It's 10:30.
It's 10:30. Yeah. Let me wrap this up. We're gonna wrap this up at verse 10. Delilah's upset, tells him he's playing with her, which he is. But like Ken said, not only is he playing with her, but he's playing with the enemy and he's playing with God. All right, and I say stop playing with sin and the enemy. All right. She still wants to know how she can bind him. This is just so crazy. I want to laugh, but I know how the story ends, and it just ain't gonna end well for him. All right. So bad women, bad men, bad relationships, bad jobs, bad stuff will try to tie you up. All right. Here you go. Got this highlighted. How can you tell she's a bad woman for Samson? Now, you look at it from Samson's perspective, and we'll wrap it up on this one. But you can also take a look at this and go, well, how do I know that this job or this situation or whatever is bad for me? Now, here's how you can tell. And if you know that, then why are you hanging around with bad folk? Bad relationships, bad situation. Okay, look at it. All right. So I got five bullets here. One, she's in with the wrong crowd of people. Who's she talking to? The enemy. Philistines. All right? So if you're dating somebody, or you're in a relationship with some friends or whatever, and your best friend is hanging around with the wrong crowd, who you think, either you're influencing your friend to bring them out of, okay, either I'm dating somebody that's unsaved because I'm bringing them into salvation, you can try that, all right, or they're going to bring you to their crowd, all right, but you got to know if, one, if she's in the wrong crowd, and if she's listening to that crowd more than she listens to you, this ain't good. Number two, thank you, Holy Ghost. I wish I knew all this stuff back. I'd be a terror if I knew all this stuff back when I was young. Boy, I'd be a whoo. Anyway, if she's more concerned with herself and her needs, stop looking at your wife like that. If she's more concerned with herself and her needs and desires, rather than what's good and best for you, might not be the right person for you. Got it? Next. And you two don't try to get divorced or anything like that, or leave nobody, because you got an oath and you stuck there. All right, amen. Next time, just, hey, if you want to help, hey, just tell them to listen to the tape. All right. All right. She has no problem, no remorse over trying to hurt Samson to get her way. If they don't have any, if they disappointed you or whatever, and there's no remorse, no apology, no my bad or whatever, boom. Told my granddaughter, if you ever date somebody, I opened the door for her when she wanted to go to Target to buy some earbuds or whatever. And I opened the door for her to get her back in the car. She said, thank you, Papa. I like that. And then I got in the car and said, if you ever date somebody and they don't do what I just did on the first time or whatever, first date, kick them to the curb. Either they don't know because they ain't been trained or that they ain't that much into you. All right, here we go. She knows who his enemies are. And she knows what will cause him to jump into action. And she keeps playing that same card. The Philistines be upon thee. The Philistines be upon thee. To see if the trap works. That's how you know. When somebody tests you. Alright. Or tempts you. To try to elicit the seed. Rather than use the Holy Spirit to discern you. All right? Be careful. All right. And then the last one that sums it all up is if she ain't concerned about trying, or if they, or the situation is not concerned with bringing God glory, if it ain't about God,
let it go.
And then I got John 16, 13, 14 there. And that takes us to the end of chapter 10. Verse 10. So we'll end at verse 10 in John 16, 13 through 14. Al says what?
John 16.
John 16,
13.
I got distracted by this bald head, but I see that's Ken over there. God, hey, that looks good, bro.
What?
Dome there.
Oh, I cut it off.
Yeah, I see. I mean, that's not influencing me to do anything, but that looks good. Yeah, John 16, verse 13 and 14.
When the Spirit of truth comes.
When the Spirit of truth comes.
He will guide you into all truth.
He will guide you into all truth.
He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard.
Ooh! I need somebody who knows the Spirit and the power of the Spirit that will allow you to discern some things, all right, so that God is speaking to you so you know how to deal with that person rather than you leaning on your own understanding. Go, let me come up with a good test. If the test was not designed by the Holy Spirit, then it's you. This works real well in prison ministry because these guys give their life to the Lord and all of a sudden they call back home and they're all excited. Woo, I found the Lord, I found the Lord. Yeah, sure you found the Lord. You've been living evil all your life. Sure you done found the Lord. And then they'll test them to see whether it really took or not. And when they go off, or if they go off, the first thing they say is, well, you know, they're on the telephone, they say, the Philistines are coming, the Philistines are coming. And then they go off on the telephone or at the visit or whatever, and they go, aha! I knew you was.
Yeah. That's so true.
All right, any other comments? What we got out there in Zoom land? We got to go. I'm 5 minutes over. Al, make a mark. We left off at verse 10.
Tell David, we started at verse 6, we went to 10, so we did good in 30 minutes.
Okay, David, I don't know if you heard that, but I'm not even going to go there. Yes, sir, Ken.
We got to also to be mindful that how persistent the enemy is.
I got that later in my notes. That'll be next week. I thought it was going to be this week, but that'll be next week. Yes, he keeps coming. He'll go away for a season, but he keeps coming. That's why faithfulness is more important than one-time faith. Hang in there. That's why you need the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on now. That's why you need the power of the Holy Spirit, because do you get tired?
Yes.
And do you get so tired to the point that you just give in and go, you know what? It's looking bleak. It probably ain't going to happen, so I'm just going to do this.
That's when we need to know to trust God.
Because the power of the Holy Spirit will keep you in those times. You need the power.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, let me pray for you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord God, for this lesson today.